Robin, thank you very much. And let's keep that passage in front of us there on page 1226. And let's pray as we come to God's word. Our loving Heavenly Father, it is with humility that we come to you this morning. There is much that we need to be taught, and many ways in which we need you to change us. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit, who inspired John to write these words, would work in our hearts today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. What an extraordinary sentence for us to start with this morning. It makes us ask, what is John talking about? Who is he describing? How are we meant to understand these things? Well, I want us to see this morning that John is giving us a warning, a vital warning, of a real, physical, down-to-earth danger. Very often in life, it's the person who ignores danger who's most at risk from it. The sports player who never stretches before a match, likely to be the one who pulls a muscle. The person who's never considered that the electric whisk could be dangerous is likely to be the one who has their hair yanked. The sailor who never checks the weather forecast is probably be the one you're caught in a storm. And the person who never thinks about the spiritual dangers we face is the one most at risk from them. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been working through this great letter of 1 John. And we've seen that John writes to give his Christian readers confidence. Confidence that they really know Jesus. Confidence that they know the truth. Confidence that they have eternal life. And we've mentioned a few times that John's readers were being unsettled by false teachers who were trying to lead them astray. And in today's passage, for the first time, John focuses on those false teachers. He wants his readers to see the danger and to be confident in resisting it. And actually, still today, if we're seeking after spiritual truth, if we want to avoid being led astray, if we want to know Jesus and to keep knowing him through to eternity, we too need to see this danger and be confident in resisting it. Now, there are two big messages in this morning's passage. And the first is this: wake up to the danger of false teachers. Wake up to the danger of false teachers. John tells us a number of things about them which help us to see the danger that they pose. First of all, they are many. Do you see that if we look at verse 18 once again? Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Now that phrase, the last hour, is used in the New Testament to describe the whole time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, at the time which we live in now. It's called the last hour because all that is needed for God's plans to be completed is for Jesus to return. And John says, in this last hour, many Antichrists have come. The word Antichrist sounds so sensational to our ears, but it simply means one who is opposed to Christ. So antibacterial spray is opposed to bacteria. Antichrists are those whose teaching is opposed to Christ. And actually, John is saying one of the characteristic features of this last hour is that there are many such false teachers. You know it's spring because there are lots of flowers out. You know it's the last hour because there are many false teachers. In verse 19, he continues, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Says these false teachers, they came from us. Again, when we hear the word Antichrist, we might think of some horrendous creature with horns and hooves and breathing fire. But no, these false teachers, they started as members of the Christian community. They started with the apostles' teaching. They were probably members of the church that John was writing to, and yet now they've left the church and they've left the apostles' teaching behind. And actually, it's true still today that typically false teachers start in Bible-believing churches like St. Mary's, but then they start teaching another message, and that's what makes them such a subtle danger. The false teachers are many, they come from us, and then this is how we spot them. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. We see this down in verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. John's right, a man who denied false teaching down the centuries, but actually the heart of many of them is the denial of who Jesus is. You may have heard of the greatly respected Christian minister John Stott, so active in the second half of the 20th century. Once he attended a minister's conference, and John Stott felt that the teaching they were hearing wasn't quite right. So over lunch, he asked the speaker, "Do you worship Jesus Christ?" And the speaker replied, "I revere him, but I don't worship him." And it's quite subtle, isn't it? That speaker held Jesus in great respect, but he stopped short of worshipping him. He was actually denying that he was the Son of God. Now, false teaching today can be more subtle even than that. It can take the form of marginalising Jesus, leaving him at the edges. Many Christian programmes that I hear on the radio and TV do this. They make much of church, much of spirituality, much of God even, but they say little about Jesus. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God, you can't leave him on the edge. To marginalise him is, in effect, to deny who he is. False teaching could also take the form of contradicting what Jesus says. Because if Jesus is the Christ, well, we must surely believe and follow his teaching. Remember, part of Jesus' teaching is the whole scriptures are God's word to us. And yet there are many in the churches today who contradict the teaching of Jesus. They say, oh, it's out of date, it needs to be adjusted for today's world. Well, they would never admit it. But actually, to contradict Jesus' teaching is in effect to deny who he is. The false teachers deny that Jesus is the Christ. And this is so serious, John says, because it means that they do not have the Father. Look at that in verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. In denying the Son, these false teachers were missing out on God altogether. It's actually just what Jesus taught when he famously said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And it makes complete sense. Only Jesus is the Son of God become flesh. Only Jesus died for our sins. Only Jesus rose again, defeating death. Of course, only Jesus can bring us into a relationship with God the Father. It's actually why it's not a good idea to have a rabbi or an imam to preach in church, as some have done. Now, we want to live at peace with people of all religions. And yes, we have much to learn from people of all faiths. But a sermon in a church must proclaim the word of God. And people without Jesus do not know God. It's also why Christian false teaching is so serious. People marginalize Christ, contradict him or deny him. They're actually missing out on God altogether. And so John is saying, wake up to the danger of false teaching. I heard a few years ago about a couple who went to the vet with their pet snake. And the snake had stopped eating and hadn't eaten a morsel for a fortnight. And they were worried about its health. And the vet asked them, "Has anything changed at home?" And they said, "Well, yes, we've just got a puppy. We love that dog." And the vet said, "Thank heavens you've come in to see me. There's nothing wrong with your snake. It is starving itself in preparation for eating your dog." The snake has deliberately stopped eating so that it can manage the puppy. They had to wake up to the danger of the snake. And John is saying, wake up to those who are consuming whole households with their false teaching. All down the centuries, Christians have been far too relaxed about false teaching. See, it's appealing, it's new, it's different, it's interesting. And in today's world, we're told that all opinions are equally valid. They are not. So Christians, when we're reading a book, when we're listening to a Christian radio station or watching a Christian TV station, when we're looking at a Christian website, be alert. We must watch out. Is Jesus being taught as the Son of God? Is he at the centre, not at the edge? And are his words being held up as trustworthy and to be obeyed, not just as a reference point to then go off and say something else? And actually, we need to ask the same questions of the teaching we receive here. And if in the future we are given false teaching by those in our wider denomination, we need to be ready as a church family to stand against it and to say that's not true. We must stick with the truth. Watch out for the danger of false teachers. But there is a second message as well in this passage which is woven in with the first. And that is, hold on to what God has given us. So yes, we need to be alert to the danger of false teaching, but John wants to give us confidence. Confidence in what God has already given us, so that we hold on to it with all of our might. And he says, first of all, we have the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, in Old Testament times, people would be anointed. They would have oil poured on their head to set them apart for particular tasks. So in those days, priests were anointed, so were kings, and sometimes prophets as well. And anointing with oil, pouring it onto their head, was a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming to equip that person for this particular task. But now John says to all of his Christian readers, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Not an anointing with oil, but an anointing with the Holy Spirit from God. That word anointing in the original language sounds exactly like the word Christ. So John is saying, yes, there are many antichrists, but you have received a Christing, an anointing from God, the Holy Spirit. And he continues, this means that we know the truth. So verse 20 once again. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Do you notice in verse 20? All of you know the truth. Now, the false teachers in John's day, they would claim that the truth just belonged to a few people. They claimed that only a few initiated people who'd been brought into their secrets really knew the truth. And John says to his Christian readers, no, no, no. All of you know the truth. Everyone who is really joined to Jesus has the Spirit and the truth. Everyone who reads the Bible and who believes it and puts it into practice knows the truth. Of course, still today there are groups who believe in the secret truth of some kind you have to be initiated into. That cannot be the truth of Christ. The truth of Christ is known by all his people. See how John is giving his readers confidence in the face of these false teachers? You have the Holy Spirit. You know the truth. And now he urges them, make sure that the gospel remains in you. Let's have a look at verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. He's talking about the message they've known from the very start of their Christian life. The gospel the apostles brought them, the gospel we now have in the Bible. Make sure that that remains in you. Actually, the way that we know we're remaining in the Holy Spirit, the way we know we're remaining in the truth, is that the biblical gospel remains in us. Sometimes we hear people say, don't we, that the Holy Spirit is prompting them to do something, and they believe so sincerely that the Spirit's encouraging them to do this thing, only it is an unethical thing. Well, if that thing is not in line with the biblical gospel, it's not the Holy Spirit who's prompting them to do it. And false teachers will often say it's the Holy Spirit who has led them into new truths. Give some examples from today's world. We hear this from those who teach a new kind of sexual ethics. Sex outside marriage is fine, they say. Sex can be between people of the same sex? The Holy Spirit is telling us these things, they say. They say you don't need Jesus to know God. All different religions sincerely held can take us to God even without Jesus, they say. But John says, see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If teaching is not in line with the Bible that we have had from the start, it is not from the Holy Spirit. And that word remain is a really rich one. In older translations, it's abide, which means live. John is saying, see that what you heard from the beginning lives in you. Now, can you bear another analogy about snakes? It's been in the media lately that there's a great need for anti-venom, especially in remote parts of Africa. You know anti-venom, it's what you have if a snake has bitten you. And the reason that so much anti-venom is needed is in order to work, it has to get into you. So if someone is bitten by a snake, it's not enough for them to know that there is some anti-venom in the hospital. It's not enough even for them to see the anti-venom. No, for them to be saved from the snake bite, that anti-venom has to get into their system, into their bloodstream. And John is saying it's the same with the gospel of Jesus. It's not enough to know about the gospel of Jesus. It's not enough to look at it in our Bibles. It needs to be in our system, coursing round our veins. It needs to live in us. It's actually why, as pastors, we're so keen that people make a priority of being here on Sundays. In hectic lives, we know that's difficult, but we're passionate about it so that the word of Jesus can be living in us. It's why we're keen for everyone who can to be in a small group where they're discussing God's word with others. It's why each quarter we promote those Explore Bible reading notes that help us open up the Bible daily. And it's why when we read God's word, we must never just leave it at that. No, we need to get it into our system, chewing on it, praying about it, trusting it, and living it out. So the way to be safe from false teaching is not just sort of academic orthodoxy. It's having the gospel of the Bible coursing round our veins. And if that's happening, John says, we will remain in the Son and in the Father. Verse 24 once again. See that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain or live in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Now these are wonderful truths. That through Jesus Christ we can live in the Son and in the Father. You cannot have a more intimate relationship than living in someone. Christians, this is the relationship we have with God now. We're joined to him by faith. Jesus cleanses us from our sins. His Holy Spirit courses into us. We draw our lives from him. It's a relationship we have with God now and will have for all eternity because of Jesus, if his word remains in us. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I was talking to that friend and he said he'd had tea with Gary Lineker. Can you remember how jealous I was initially? Until I thought about the relationship that we have with God. Tea with Gary Lineker? Nothing. Christians, we live in the Son and in the Father now and for all eternity. So John concludes in verse 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, there are at least three remainings in this passage. So, verse 24, the gospel remaining in us. Verse 27, the Holy Spirit remaining in us. End of verse 27, us remaining in Jesus Christ. Actually, these remainings are three sides of the same coin. How do we remain in Jesus? How does the Spirit remain in us? Well, it is as the gospel remains in us. John is saying, hold on to what God has given us. Well, as we conclude, where does this leave us? It may be that some of this is very new to us. You've not really thought much before about some of these themes, but you want to know the truth, and you want to have a living relationship with God. Well, John is saying, watch out, because many sources who offer these things are not real. John is saying, what you need is the message that we have heard from the beginning, the message of Jesus Christ that we have in the Bible, that he loved us, that he came into this world for us, that he died, that he rose again, and that we now can live in him. John is saying, don't accept counterfeits. It's Jesus you need, the Jesus of the Bible. Actually, for those of us who do know Christ, we need to wake up to that danger of false teaching. But also, John wants us to be confident in what God has already given us. Christians, we have the Spirit. We know the truth. We live in God. And now we need to hold on to what God has given us. Are you ensuring that the gospel of Jesus lives in you? Not just a message you know about, not just something you used to be passionate about, but a message of Jesus that flows in your veins. Do you read about him, discuss him with others, commit to hearing his word regularly? Are you chewing on him, trusting him, obeying him through the week? The way we resist false teaching is by holding on to what God has given us and ensuring that his gospel flows in our veins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to do that. Thank you that you warn us in your word about this danger of false teaching, which has been in every generation since Jesus, and we still have today. Help us to see where things we hear are denying who Jesus is, or marginalizing him, or contradicting his word. Help us to be alert to that. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you have freely given us in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the truth, that we live in you now and forever. We pray that we would be those who have the gospel of the Bible living in us. Teach us this week to hold on to what we've heard today, to chew it over, to put it into practice, and to keep it coursing through our systems. Amen.